Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We've been studying Matthew 6, 14, and 15 about forgiveness, and last time we brought up this topic of patience. When somebody doesn't repent of their offenses against you, then what you need is not so much forgiveness, but patience with them while they're still sinning. After they're done sinning and they repent, that's when you forgive. But there are a couple of different kinds of impatience, and one of them has to do with little things. If things like honest mistakes, kids who make messes, bad drivers, phone solicitors, barking dogs, crying babies, or lost car keys affect your mood, it's a symptom of a problem in your heart. In today's podcast, we'll discover the solution to that kind of impatience.
If you are impatient with people, there's a couple of angles of attack we need to take to repair that problem. First one is, don't be so easily offended. That's just the beginning point. You know, you don't have to forgive if you don't get offended in the first place. Being thin-skinned is a big problem in the church, and it's a symptom of selfishness and pride. If you find yourself easily hurt, easily offended, easily irritated, just routinely upset at people all the time, then you know what's happening is you're becoming self-absorbed and prideful. Pride elevates your sense of self-importance. You start thinking that your comfort is the priority. That's the supreme priority in everybody's life, my comfort. And so anything that disrupts my comfort makes me mad and angry at you because I must be comfortable. So if you're the type that gets angry at people who make honest mistakes, kids who make messes, adults who make messes, people who cut in front of you in traffic, phone solicitors, barking dogs, crying babies, lost car keys, people that don't show enough interest in you. That's all small. None of that stuff should make you mad. They shouldn't require forgiveness because they don't even need to be noticed. That's little stuff. Those things are unimportant, incidental. They have no business taking up any of our thoughts. They certainly have no business controlling our emotions or relationships. If you're walking down the hallway after the service, you're going down for the potluck afterwards, and somebody, you know, it's crowded, somebody bumps you a little bit, their shoulder rubs against yours a little bit. You don't pull them aside into the prayer room and rebuke them and show them verses from Scripture about being careful and considerate, then require them to be crushed with sorrow, and then ask for forgiveness, and then you forgive. No, you don't go through all that. You don't take them through Matthew 18, this church discipline. You don't even notice it. You don't even notice it. They bump you. Oops, excuse me. And it's a non-issue. You forget it. 2 minutes later, you don't even remember it happened. The more self-focused we become, the more the little things bother us. Once you start worrying about whether people are loving you enough, I always cringe when people come to the church, you know, they're new, and they come in and they say, oh, my last church, the people just, they weren't friendly, they didn't love me, they weren't mean to me, they were this, that. They didn't. I think, oh boy. Because that's going to happen here too. I mean, if you are focused on how well people are loving you, you are going to be disappointed wherever you go. Because what happens is it turns your focus inward, and I guarantee you're just going to be constantly hurt. You struggle with this type of anger. The solution is not so much forgiveness. It's not that you need to learn to forgive all the people bumping you in the hall. What you need to do is repent of your pride. Shift the focus of your thoughts off yourself and on to God. Stop worrying about whether people are loving you and focus on loving them. People come to this church and they talk about how they enjoyed loving the people around them at their last church, and I know they'll fit in great here. Because we're a people that need a lot of love. Pride is really a very easy thing to measure in your heart. All you have to do is ask, how much of an offense does it take to disrupt my relationship with another person? If you're irritated by every little thing, your pride is off the charts. The more you learn humility, the more things just kind of slide off like water off a duck's back. And life becomes so much more pleasant for you and for everyone else. Most of us, when someone hurts us, tend to go in one of two directions. Either anger or self-pity. Really, they're the same. They're just two sides of the same coin of pride. It kind of depends on your personality type. Depending on your personality, we might tend more towards one towards the other, but they both sins sprout from that same root of pride. For some people, it's anger. That's their first response, anger. As soon as they're hurt, insulted, mistreated, abused, belittled, neglected, whatever, first thing, anger. Their heart is like a pile of kindling soaked with gasoline. And whenever somebody hurts them, you know, the little sparks from friction with somebody instantly starts a fire of anger. And for people like that, if you're like that, it doesn't even seem like a choice, does it? You're angry before you even think. It seems like an involuntary reaction, like a reflex that you can't even control. And you do what you can to put the fire out each time it starts, but it seems impossible to keep it from igniting in the first place. Pride has turned, for people like that, pride has turned their heart into a gas-soaked kindling, so they're volatile and combustible. That's some folks. For others, it's not anger, but it's self-pity. Every time someone hurts you, it's just one more proof in the books. See, I'm so mistreated, so misunderstood, it's all so unfair, woe is me, I'm so abused, I have so much I have to put up with, this is just so horrible. And it starts to lead towards bitterness and resentment, to a real quiet, subtle bitterness and resentment towards a person. Some Christians, they realize that, you know, selfish anger is sinful. They see these angry people over here, they go, oh, that's sinful. And they don't want to appear sinful, and so they try and camouflage their pride with self-pity response instead. In fact, sometimes people even try and make it look like humility. There are those people, you know, you hurt them, and immediately what do? They start putting themselves down. Oh, I guess I'm just worthless. Oh, nobody appreciates me. I guess my gifts just aren't needed around here. And they take their ball and go home, and it's just a self-pity response that's sort of supposed to look like humility. It's amazing to me how willing I am sometimes to sacrifice what could be a perfectly happy day in my house because I want to take offense at something that Tracy does. Some little thing. You know, maybe she got upset at me once for doing that exact thing that she just did. And I see that, and at that moment I have a choice. Right now, she's happy, I'm happy, the household is happy, relationship is fine. If I decide to just kind of laugh it off, forget it, we can spend the rest of the day in perfectly good mood. And that's right there before me. But instead, I decide, no. I'm going to dwell on this thing she did and how I was wronged. And so I dwell on it. And I'm the type, I have to admit, I'm more of this other type that goes into more self-pity instead of anger. And so the whole thing's real quiet. At first, she doesn't even know. But I dwell on it until I start to get a little bit grumpy. I don't say anything to her because that would be too petty. At least that's what I tell myself. But in reality, I don't say anything to her because to talk to her about it and resolve it right there on the spot would be an act of kindness and love. And I don't feel like showing kindness and love right now. I want to be grumpy. And so now I'm in a little bit of a grumpy mood. Nothing extreme, hardly noticeable, but noticeable to her. And the next thing you know, within a few hours, for some reason, she's not in the greatest mood. She's kind of grumpy. Now we're both grumpy. Which means it goes downhill from there because now we're both grumpy. So now we're both noticing every little offense, which feeds our grumpiness. And don't be one bit surprised if at this point I rebuke her for being so grumpy. Now we got a whole day, maybe 2 or 3 days, where we're not happy. We're unhappy. For what? For what? Oh, because I decided to wallow in self-pity over some insignificant, meaningless offense that I could have easily overlooked. What insanity that is. When Tracy does something to inconvenience me, there's a fork in the road. The path to the right is a path of joy and happiness in my home for the next few days. Path to the left is a path of grumpiness and unhappiness. But to take that path on the right, I have to step over a log that she left in my path. Which is a piece of cake for humility and love, but pride takes over. I decide to wallow in self-pity. I am not stepping over that log. And so I have to go down the path of unhappiness. What insanity. Now, of course, this, you understand, this is all hypothetical. This doesn't happen in our house at all, really. But I've seen other couples. This is what happens. So anyway, one step in overcoming impatience is to pursue humility and stop focusing on self so that you're not so easily offended by the little stuff. You just brush it off.
If everything that touches your skin hurts, you've probably got the flu. Hypersensitivity on your skin is a symptom of a sickness inside your body. The same is true of your spiritual life. When small things affect your mood, that's a symptom that something's wrong deeper down. Minor irritations shouldn't affect your mood any more than a gentle touch on your arm should hurt your skin. So do a little self-diagnosis. What are some small things that affect you more than they should? Talk to God about how you might strive for greater humility in those areas.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.